You know, of all the themes that we find in music, theater, poetry, writing, art, the way human beings express themselves, love has got to be the number one theme there. Depending on the biblical translation, the word love comes out at somewhere upwards to around 500 to 700 times, depending on the translation that you use. In the readings today from 1 John and from the Gospel, the word love is the Greek word agape. Now in Greek there's 5 different words that we often render or translate as love. In English, we can love just about anything, can't we? I love pizza. I love my dog. I love my sports team. I love my children. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love, you know, God. Do we all mean the same thing when we say that? No, there are different degrees. Some is about attraction. Some might be preference. Some might be more about friendship. Agape love is the word that Jesus used. Where elsewhere he says, there's no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. Now, if we have a love that's kind of outward going and it's not returned, we even have a word for that, don't we? Unrequited. And sometimes you'll listen to love ballads that speak about a love that someone has and wants to share, and it's never given back. To some degree, isn't that the love that God starts out with us? God loves us before we love God, because love creates. God loved you so much that He created you. He gives His love unconditionally to you. And then we work out our whole lives practically of what it means to give that love back. In the Gospel today, Jesus tells us to remain in His love. And it's not just saying, when you read it in the original Greek, I'm told, it's not that Jesus is saying, just stay close to me. When he talks about remaining in his love, he's talking about multiplying it exponentially by sharing it, by making that love to be something that we receive, but also something that we return back to God and outward to others. In this parish community, when we think about what love looks like or different images of love, I'd like to share with you a couple of that I've witnessed and others have shared with me, and all of these really within the last 6 months or so. Let me start with something that happened at Easter. After the Easter vigil, a father and son team were here close to midnight, cleaning up, getting things ready for the next day. The next morning, as I come over, I see them out on the parking lot where they had arrived before 7 a.m. to help with parking. You know, wearing the fluorescent green vests after having had a rather late night. Sometimes love looks like a green fluorescent vest. You know? Sometimes that's also what self-preservation looks like on a Catholic Church parking lot. Another story. Our latest season of Alpha started up with over 40 people who had not registered, who just kind of showed up at the door. A resounding success in terms of numbers, one would say right from the bat. One former Alpha leader volunteered to commit to coming that first night and helping with name badges. Seeing the number of people who showed up, basically said, if you need me, I'm willing to be a table host. And committed herself to 11 more weeks. Sometimes love looks like a person who sees a need and just makes themselves available. What does love look like? Sometimes love looks like the person in our parking lot who's out there receiving casseroles for our daily bread. Smiling and greeting people, whether it's a hot day in the middle of the summer, a cold day in winter. It also looks like the face of the person dropping out dropping off that casserole so carefully prepared to feed the hungry. Sometimes love looks like it did the other night, Friday evening, on this carpet. There was no fewer than what I would describe as a tribe of little children with a few parents. The parents praying with them before the Blessed Sacrament, coaxing them as the children led the rosary, and voiced their personal intercessions in the presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. Prayers that may have been not always grammatically correct, maybe strained a little bit, but always beautiful and heartfelt. Sometimes God looks like the face of those parents, and sometimes God's love looks like the face of those children. Love sometimes looks like the person standing at the door holding it as someone comes in, and maybe hasn't had a real conversation with anybody that week that they'd say was substantial, and takes the time just to take a few minutes to greet. You know, love has a lot of different expressions, but God's love is one thing certain about it. It's not something that's just contained when we receive it. To remain in it and live it really compels us to take it outward, to have it catch on with others. Now, Pope Francis, you know, he's got to be the Pope of controversy, wouldn't you say? He's a challenging Pope. I think he's probably the most misquoted Pope ever. I don't know if that's possible, but, you know, every time you seem to see a quote come up in the news, it gets sensationalized. Oh, he's created a new doctrine. Oh, he's thrown out another doctrine, and then it gets all clarified, and we move on. But I will say that this Pope is challenging. His first document, The Joy of the Gospel, he writes to the world, essentially. You want to talk about some challenging words? Here's some challenging words. He says, I dream of a missionary option. That is a missionary impulse capable of transforming everything so that the church's customs, ways of doing things, times and schedules, language and structures can be suitably channeled for the evangelization of today's world rather than her self-preservation. Are they powerful words? Do you agree with them? They scare me to death. I know one priest was giving a talk recently and he quoted this to the crowd, and everybody was really, they were all church workers, and they were like, amen, that's great. And he says, really, do you believe that? Are you ready to embrace that? Because you have to listen to it closely. A missionary impulse capable of transforming everything. Customs. Ways of doing things, times and schedules. We want to talk about sacred cows, language, structures, focusing on evangelization today's world, not our self-preservation. You know, at one time to be a Christian in the very early centuries of the church literally meant putting your life on the line. The church, by its nature, in its infancy, was an evangelizing church. And one would think that in that age, that would be the age of self-preservation, holding on to one's life, keeping it together, hoping that the latest persecution would die down. Yet during those times is when the church was most missionary in its mandate. It's when Paul and people who followed him went to the four corners of the earth as they knew it and proclaimed boldly the name and the gospel of Jesus Christ. They knew what Jesus was saying when he said, remain in my love. It meant spread it. We always have to ask ourselves why we exist. Why we exist as a church. Why we exist as a parish. Why we exist as a community. My dear friends, it's nothing short of this. than to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring others to Jesus. A beautiful biblical image is when you have the guy who's on his mat, the paraplegic, and he can't get to Jesus. Jesus is in the house. And his friends take him up onto the roof of the house, open the roof, and they lower him down to the feet of Jesus. They bring him, and Jesus heals him. You and I have that commission to be the ones who bring others to know Jesus. And there's no one way of doing it, but all of us are charged with doing it. One of the most ancient images of the church is the bark of Peter, a ship. You know, sometimes I think we look at this ship, we need to be careful. This ship isn't the love boat. It's rooted in love, but it's not the love boat. Because on a cruise ship, there's two classes of people, aren't there? Actually, maybe more depending on which room you're in. But there's those who are on the crew who do the service, maintaining the ship, serving the meals, cleaning the rooms, doing all of those things. And then there's the other who have paid their way onto the ship and are served and enjoy the journey. You see, the church isn't the love boat. It's really more like a battleship. Battleships are built to withstand the elements. Battleships go out on missions of search and rescue. And on a battleship, every person has a role, a job, a place. And we as a parish are like one of those ships. One of my favorite quotes of Thomas Aquinas is when he says, if the captain of a ship has as his main purpose the preservation of that ship, it will never leave port. It will never leave port. You know, there's something safe about keeping the ship at dock. It's accessible. You can get on it and off of it at ease. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't touch or impact as many. My dear friends, if the church is a ship, you and I are all lifeboats. And we're all on a search and rescue mission to bring people to Jesus, to get them on the ship, to let them know God's love and God's mercy. A couple of years ago, I shared with you how we were really going to be intentional about parish renewal. And again this year, we're going to pray that novena to the Holy Spirit starting this Friday. We'll be getting that out. And I really encourage you to first and foremost see, if nothing else, and I pray there's more, but if nothing else, to be committed to praying for the renewal of our parish and our church and all who we touch. But one of the things that we said is we need to look at what it means to be a parish, a church in the 21st century. We have a great and rich history here at St. John's. So many people put themselves into this parish and bringing it to fruition. Some of you may even remember the days when you worshipped over on B&A Boulevard in the little church there. And many share the stories of the days when of the little chapel off of Benfield even. But we need to be careful that we don't measure our success in our buildings and in our numbers and in our programs, but rather in the lives that we touch, in the lives that are transformed. We see God's love every time I see someone approaching someone in our prayer ministry or supporting each other in prayer. And that's what we need to do. But I think we also need to not just settle for that as an isolated incident, but rather work at creating a culture where God's love is lived, celebrated, and multiplied. Now this coming year, one of the things we're really going to be focusing on is how we approach faith formation as a community. And we're going to be announcing some things in a few weeks, some changes in structures, but not just rearranging furniture, but looking at an approach that number one is more family focused, and number two is steeped in Scripture, the Scriptures that we read on Sunday, and bringing those into our groups, not having a classroom approach so much, but one where people can share their stories and take them home and let them be touched by God's grace and lived out between Sunday to Sunday. It may mean that we need to tweak a few things. And as we experiment, we need to be open to where God's Spirit is leading us. But you know, one of the things we celebrate this weekend are our first communicants and their families. We want them to be connected. Love forms connections. And we as parish need to be connecting with our community, with our families. What's this about? You know, you can say it's easy. I'm preaching to the people who are already here. This is about the person who's not sitting next to you. It might be a neighbor that you know that has drifted away from the church. It might be your son, your daughter. It might be your mother or father. It might be your grandchild. It might be a colleague, co-worker, or friend. It's about making a place for them, for their questions, for their struggles, and exposing them to nothing less than the radical love of Jesus Christ. I came across the parish and they had a little thing about their hospitality ministry. And their basic vision statement was real simple, that no one ever touches a door handle. And so that's real easy to do, just put in automatic doors, right? But they were basically saying about having a posture that reflects God's love and a culture of hospitality and welcome, to let every person know that they're loved, they're valued, they're cherished, and that God has a place for them. Wherever they are, from wherever they've come. And that's our vision for this community, dear friends. All hands on deck, all ready to remain and to spread His love. Amen.